I'd like to welcome everyone to the Simple Actions Group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is David. I'm an alcoholic. For those who care to join us, let's have a moment of silence to do with as you wish, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Amen. The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance this evening. This premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and this room and the restrooms exclusively, which are across the main foyer and up a small flight of stairs. At this time, please silence your cell phones. I didn't do that yet. And I'll pretend like I'm going to remember and I'll forget. Also, we respectfully ask those present to please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a set of clear directions on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of simple actions. These actions are contained in the book, Alcoholics Anonymous. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of AA's simple actions. AA preamble states, Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. This evening, we are talking about steps 8 and 9. I don't have a book to read them. Step 8 is we made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. And step 9 is made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Is that about right? Okay. And please help me welcome our panel this evening. It's Scott and Lisa. So we're going to start tonight on page 76 in your big book. Now we need more action, without which we find that faith without works is dead. Let's look at steps 8 and 9. We have a list of all persons we have harmed and to whom we are willing to make amends. We made it when we took inventory. We subjected ourselves to a drastic self-appraisal. Now we go out to our fellows and repair the damage done in the past. We attempt to sweep away the debris which has accumulated out of our effort to live on self-will and run the show ourselves. If we haven't the will to do this, we ask until it comes. Remember, it was agreed at the beginning we would go to any lengths for victory over alcohol. So, ladies' choice, you want Scott to go first, or you want to go first, Lisa?
Oh, Scott can go first.
Yeah.
Hi, my name is Scott, and I'm an alcoholic. And somehow I knew that was going to happen. You know, step 8 is about being willing. It's about it. It's not a whole lot involved with it that I know of, and maybe you know something different. But it's willingness, and that's something I didn't come into Alcoholics Anonymous with. You know, when I first got here, I was, you know, like a lot of people, I come straight from jail. Maybe you didn't, but I did. And I kind of wanted to go to jail when I got there because I knew if I could get back to Alcoholics Anonymous, I think it would work this time. You know, I really did. And willingness was one of the things I started doing. I didn't even know I was doing it. So let me get a couple things out the way. I got a home group, you know. I got two home groups. One is Principal's group. We meet on of Chesapeake. We meet on Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock. We're a literature meeting. We don't stray from that. We stay pretty consistent with it. And out of that group, a couple of us formed another group at the church I attend. Imagine that. I go to church now. And in my neighborhood that I grew up in, which is South Norfolk, just on the south side of Norfolk, not far. And we're a big book meeting on Sunday afternoons at 5:30. So on Bainbridge Boulevard in South Norfolk. So if anybody's ever around any of them meetings, come on by. We'd love to have you. Steps 8 and 9. I did step one, step two, whatever, so on. I did step four, and you know, I hear a lot of people talk about how they didn't want to do it. I didn't have much of a problem with doing a step four. I knew, because I've been coming in here for so many, I've been coming in Alcoholics Anonymous since I was 16 because the probation officer told me I might have a problem with alcohol, and I agreed. And there went my cycle. It started. I always agreed. I didn't argue with anybody about it because I knew once I got out of your face, then I'd get to drink. But right now, yeah, you're right. You're right. Exactly right. That freaking alcohol. But I just got in here, man, and I started doing this work, and I didn't want to make no amends. I was like, they don't care about me. You know, I don't want to do this. I didn't want to do it. But like I said, this willingness, somewhere in the literature, it says if we don't have willingness, we pray for other things. We just pray. You know, we got to start praying. I had to start praying, and I started praying before I got here, to get here. And then I prayed on every step. I prayed with my sponsor. I prayed with my home group. I prayed with all the guys that I met. And I belonged to a men's big book study. And I started praying, man. All of a sudden, I became willing, you know, to do something I didn't want to do. And of course, the last sentence in this paragraph is, at the beginning, I was willing to go to any lengths. And that's what I was when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous this time. I was ready, you know. And I'm still here because of that. And I'm going to let Lisa talk because she's better than me.
Hi, my name's Lisa. I am an alcoholic.
Hi, Lisa.
I do have a home group. It's the Chesapeake Big Book Study meeting on Sundays at 5:30. I was a member of There's a Solution for 10 years, but my home group did fold after 10 years. But that's another story. So I have had a home group the whole time I've been sober, January 27th, 2007. So let's see here. I am going to qualify myself a little bit. It took me 27 years to get here. I drank alcoholically, I believe, since the time I was 15 years old. By the time I was 18, I had a friend in French class came up to me and she said, Lisa, do you realize you drank 4 nights a week in high school? And I thought she was a square, you know? I grew up in the 70s, 80s, and the drinking age was 18. I had to go back a grade, and so I was the one responsible for taking everybody to the parties and getting them home because I got my driver's license a little earlier. But basically, I had my whole alcoholic 27 years of drinking was binge drinking, and I would have moments of clarity where I would stop drinking and blame the people I was hanging out with, and I would start running around a track. Okay, my father was a marathon runner and a racquetball player, and I would follow in his footsteps. I would find an empty racquetball court and hit the ball as hard as I could to somehow fill this empty void, in my stomach, that alcohol worked when I couldn't play sports. I did that for 27 years. I was able to stop drinking when I was 21. I had enough. By the time I was 21, I was done drinking. Only for 1 year. So I thought I wasn't the person, like the book talks about, we've been able to stop for a length of time and then go back to alcohol. I thought that was a reason that I was not an alcoholic. And that, again, all through my teenage years, 20s, 30s, I would drop my friends that seemed to be the problem, and I would start running. And I would join an athletic team, and then I would be a part of a group, and I wouldn't talk about my past. And I would win awards and ran 17 marathons, and I got to hang out with the people that drank just the way that I like to drink. You know, I chose those people. By the time I was almost 40, I was going to jail a couple times, and I was thinking, well, why am I in jail now? I should have gotten that over with when I was a teenager in my 20s. But I'm 40 and I'm in a jail in Redding, California, and I have no idea. I wasn't driving. And that was the end. That was started to become the end. It would take me another 2 years to get it, to have a bottom where I was in the hotel and I was ODing. And I came to, actually, I'm sorry, I'm so nervous. I screwed up my sobriety date. It's January 28th, 2007. I was in a hotel on January 27, 2007, and they took the oxygen mask off of my face on the 28th. but after that, I knew, after 27 years of doing that, I was done. So I don't know what it's like coming in here, still wanting to drink. So I was done. And right at that moment, I think I was at step 8, at 8 months of sobriety. That's just how it rolled for me. This was basically, I'll just tell you that my sponsor really had a rein on me. I mean, I was doing the four step. I had so much of a four step, it was like that. So she had to go through it and actually tell me I didn't have to do some things, okay? Because I had so much, you know, stuff on there. I did make the list, and I was done. I was ready. It was like what Scott said. I was ready to go to my ex-mother-in-law, you know, and tell her that that I was wrong, you know, and I was told to say that I was wrong, that just not, I'm sorry. She was from Germany. She kissed me on both cheeks and side of the cheeks and said, "You're welcome to come back here anytime." So that one went well. You know, I basically just showed up. I had humility then. I've gotten less humility through my sobriety that I needed to kick back, and that's another story. But then, at that time, I had a lot of humility. Face-to-face, the only other amends really that face-to-face, my mom died early in my sobriety, and so I was able to go on a little trip, bed and breakfast with my mother, but she did die. And I did spend a lot of time in AA, in early recovery, in AA, and around holidays with you people. So I didn't spend a lot of time with my mom. But when she died, I did go back, and the neighbor grabbed my arm and told me, she was in Richmond, said that your mother knew you got it this time. And that was very emotional for me. But that was, I wasn't there. I don't have a good story about being there when my mom died or holding her hand. That was not my experience. I actually had a sponsor say, you know, well, you know, go to her, but I ended up doing a commitment in AA. But those things happened. Now I know, I'm clear, exactly the way they should have happened. So, gosh, I don't really... anyway, I'm jumping around, but my experience was I did have a list. It did come from my inventory. I had financial amends. I had so many amends. Most of my financial have been made, have been created in sobriety. A lot of amends for the tsunami caught up with me, like in the middle of sobriety. So I was making decisions based on self before I asked my sponsor if it was a good idea to maybe refinance my house with a 30-day no-doc loan or whatever. I was doing things like that without asking her. And then I'm like, well, I'll throw the car in so I can sell less life insurance out of fear, you know, that I could do something like that. And then now all of that, you know, comes back to haunt me later. So, yeah, I was... this has been a long and crazy trip, but when I do this, when I do these things, and I'm honest with my sponsor, it all works out. It's just a, I can't even, I mean, I'm sorry, I'm jumping all over the place, but anybody, I will tell you this, that did not make my list, I ran into them in a grocery store, or I ran into them in the ocean with a surfboard. God has made that possible, my higher power. Anything that I needed to reconcile, oh, it pops up. It's right there. And that's beautiful. I mean, that could only be, anyway, as a result of this program. So I'll be quiet. Sorry, I'm on.
Awesome. You're awesome. It's all good. We're going to continue on page 76. Probably there are still some misgivings. As we looked over the list of business acquaintances and friends we have hurt, we may feel diffident about going to them on a spiritual basis. Let us be reassured. To some people, we need not and probably should not emphasize the spiritual feature on our first approach. We might prejudice them. At the moment, we are trying to put our lives in order, but that is not an end in itself. Our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. It is seldom wise to approach an individual who still smarts from our injustice to him and announce that we've gone religious. In the prize ring, this would be called leading with the chin. Why lay ourselves open to being branded fanatics or religious bores? We may kill a future opportunity to carry a beneficial message. But our man is sure to be impressed with a sincere desire to set right the wrong. He is going to be more interested in a demonstration of goodwill than our talk of spiritual discoveries. Scott?
Yeah, I didn't really want to tell people I'd gone religious. I don't know why. It was a fear I had, I guess. I was scared. I was worried about what you would think of me. You know, my ego. I got here, I don't know about you guys, I got here with a big-ass ego, and I didn't want you to know that I didn't know what I was doing with my life. It was embarrassing, you know, the feelings of shame and guilt that I carried around with me that alcohol would take away, you know, are exposed when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous. I come in here crying like a baby. You know, straight out of jail. I remember the day I got out of jail. I'll tell you what happened. My sobriety day is July 10th, 06. The day I got out of jail, I called this guy that asked to be my sponsor. His name's Tony. Some of you still know him. He moved to Florida a few years back, and we're still in touch. But the damnedest thing happened when I called him, and he answered the phone. That was amazing to me. I'm like, why would this guy still answer the phone? You know, because I asked him to be my sponsor and I never called him. Then a year later, I'm getting out of jail again. You know, and the last conversation we had, he looked at me. He said, Scott, he says, you're drinking, aren't you? I said, yeah, I've had a couple. He goes, oh, God, that's terrible. I'm like, nah, man, it's all right. It's me. It's just a couple. He said, no. He says, you don't understand. He says, this is what I want you to do. He said, I want you to go drink all the beer you can, all the liquor you can. My eyes start opening up. No shit. And he says, I want you to shoot the dope, smoke the crack. I'm like, this is getting better. And he says, but I want you to do one thing for me. I said, what is that? He said, I want you to pray for me. I said, what do you mean pray for you, me? He just tell me to do all this stuff. You want me to pray? He said, pray I'm here if you make it back. You know, that's an amazing thing to me today. And I get to tell guys that. I tell them the exact same thing when they're going to get locked up. Or if you get locked up, you know, your chances are that's not going to happen. Death is right around the corner if you drink and shoot dope like I did. And, but the guy answered the phone and he took me in the room. There was four of them come pick me up. My mom's house. My mom let me come home at 40 years old. My wife at that time. Didn't want me there. Salvation Army was a great option, but my mother said, you can come back to the house if you call this man. And I called him, and four guys came pick me up, and they took me out to eat. And, you know, they knew me because they watched me relapse. They all knew me. And we went to the Wednesday night hospital meeting, Chesapeake General Hospital. It's not there in the morning. Moved it down the road. But, I still remember, you know, all I wanted to do was cry. All of a sudden, you know, in here it talks about ego deflation. My ego had been deflated. and so much by the time I got here at 40 years old, even though I couldn't tell you that, all the years that I tried it, coming in and out, in and out, in and out, because somebody was telling me to, and I was drinking, and I didn't care. But that's all I could do, man. And then we start working steps, you know, some time goes on, and I was like, at least I did like a step a month. I don't know if that's a way to do it or not, but that worked for me so far. And I was like, 8 months, 9 months sober, I'm doing these steps right here. And that's when it hit me. I belong to Big Book Study, and my sponsor would say, read it every night, you know, to help you sleep. I'm like, all right, but I don't know what I read. But when we got to this page, 76, there it was, man. There it was. For the first time in my life, not being drunk, not being the asshole of the party, not getting arrested, not being the guy at the butt of every joke, it told me my real purpose. You know, and this is what I know today. No matter what goes on in my life, I learned through this right here that I need to be of maximum service to God and those about me. That's it, you know. And for the first time, I was all right. You know, I was all right. I still didn't want to make no amends, but I was all right. You know, because I avoided them. You know, I'll get into them in a minute, but you know, I figured let bygones be bygones. That was, you know, I heard that somewhere, and it kind of fit in good with my life. So I said, hey, that sounds good to me, you know. But, you know, then I could tell, you know, I'm grateful I had a good sponsor, because he just looked at me and shake his head, man. You're the most justifying, rationalizing guy ever. I'm saying, I'm sure I'm not. There's other ones out there. I've met them. But I found every excuse in the book not to just go up and fix my past, you know, because I didn't want to do it. I really did not want to do it, because I knew all them these feelings that I wasn't used to were going to come up. I knew it, man. Then I'm going to have to cry. Then I'm going to look like a punk. You know, all that fucking, excuse me, all that ego. Everything's in there, man. And I didn't want that. I did not want to feel bad. You know, I didn't get sober to feel bad. I remember saying that before. You know, it doesn't matter. It's all the deflation. As long as it's deflating me, with every step, every little baby step I took was for me, you know, to be ready for you. You know, that's how it works. That's how it worked for me. And I still don't know about religion. You know, I go to a church that I grew up in, the preacher I've known my whole life, and he's seen the change happen in me, his son. You know, a few of us hung out together. There's three of us who got sober. And, you know, we're still doing all right. So I guess that's quite something to watch if you're a preacher to see three young men get straight in their 40s and live. You know, most of them are dead. But we made it. You know, the war's over. All right, thanks for the mission. Good.
I saw my dad the other night, and he looked at me and he said, "Why can't you be more like Andy?" That's his friend who has 35 years of sobriety. So this is, he's going to be more interested in a demonstration of goodwill than in our talk of spiritual discoveries. I've had to do, these living amends, with certain people, and it's taken years. It's like a decade, and my dad still thinks I'm 12, you know? And I just have to pause, and on a good day, I just don't respond. And I try to, he's right, you know? I had a friend who was my drinking friend. We were in the choir together at age 7. We were drinking buddies. And my amends to her was, we met maybe 5 years ago on the beach, and we were talking, and she said, "You know, you went off on a motorcycle and you left me at that party, and that was 30 years ago." And I really didn't know that she was still angry over something like that, and I mean, that really, she was really still upset over it. She got married. I helped her with her little bubbles, you know, putting the names on them and everything. And I spent time I don't know, it's not like I'm doing, giving myself kudos or whatever, but I spent actual time helping her, you know, where, and I showed up early. When I got sober, this was so hard to be sober and deal with people because I was a life insurance agent and I was used to throwing my map in the back of the car and going. So I got sick in sobriety and it forced me to make a decision about work where I had to work with four women in a 200 square foot space. And my amends was really getting to work on time and not asking them the same question twice. So I've basically learned how to grow up, you know, from age 45 to 53. You know, I'm just, you know, I never had kids. My higher power put two girls in my life that their mother had died of cancer and their dad was addicted to something. And I was able to be there every time they called me. I was able to be there for them. Now, sometimes I couldn't do things when I was working, trying to do, but I was present and I was sober. And that's all I can say about, you know, one of the amends, I was supposed to do something with the girls' club or the boys' club, maybe. And I had those two girls in my life. So my sponsor said, well, you know, that will suffice. So most of my amends have been just being present, I could say. This stuff was hard. I kind of went off the subject because the eighth step is the list. And I had some financial amends that basically, my sponsor said it would be better to write a small check to the food bank than some of the financial amends. So I had to do that. So there are other ways, you know, of doing things. But I had the guidance of a sponsor to tell me that. She knew everything about me in order to tell me or direct me on what to do. And then the only other thing I was thinking of about the, I've had a lot of financial stuff. I've had to get on payment plans and call numbers and talk to people. And I've had to do that in sobriety, show up in court. And some of that amends, is financial amends, is doing that, showing up and working out a plan. That's it. Being proactive. Again, all of the people that I've been put, like I've had these haunting things from the past. When I first tried to get sober, I got a sponsor who hadn't worked the steps. And she died. But she was trying to help me, and we were really on a Thelma and Louise mission together, you know, because neither one of us knew what we were doing. And I ran into her husband. I felt responsible for her trying to help me for somehow in her death, you know. And I was teaching somebody a sport, and I forgot the Gatorade, and I'm like, gosh, I have to go to the food line and get the Gatorade or whatever. And that's who I run into, was her husband. And I was able to have a talk, and he looked at me and just said, you know, I do not hold you responsible in any way for what happened. She was going to do that. And I guess I just needed to hear that. You know, it didn't matter what my sponsor said. I needed to hear that from him. So I have another weird thing happen. I was hugely in debt, and I had gone to the Urban League or something to try to get like some ideas. I was trying to be proactive on stuff. And I got a printout that told me the amount of debt I was in. And I taped it to my cabinet, my medicine cabinet. And then I moved. We recently just got married. But anyway, I had papers everywhere, but this one paper I was running, I was jogging by the property, and there was one piece of paper in the ditch, and I went and picked it up, and it was my old debt of what it was. And then I realized today that it was $23,000 less than that. And so that was huge for me to see that, even though it took me like 9 years. That was 2009. That printout was from 2009. Okay, so my thing hasn't been fast as far as making. Well, some amends have been. Some amends were quickly. They were quick. They were right away. I was told to do them, and I wanted to do them, so I didn't have a problem with doing them. You know, I was defeated. I wanted to do this and get the promises. But a lot of the financial and the behavior still didn't change for me. And I think that's what's happened maybe with my father and some people that I'm around all the time, maybe with him too. But yeah, the amends, how can I make amends if my behavior hasn't changed? You know, that's the hardest thing. And if I'm honest, my behavior hasn't changed in all areas. So I'm just taking it day by day. And, you know, and one thing about my whole recovery is sometimes I forget to ask for help. You know, in the eighth step, it says over and over again, we ask for help. You know, over and over, we ask for help. I forget. I stay in my head and I forget to go, oh, yeah, I got to have a V8. I need to ask him for help. You know, I'm so used to, I got this. Anyway, I think that's all I got. Thanks.
Okay, we're going to continue on page 77.
Sorry, my dad.
Under no condition do we criticize such a person or argue. Simply, we tell him we'll never get over drinking until we have done our utmost to straighten out the past. We are there to sweep off our side of the street, realizing that nothing worthwhile can be accomplished until we do so. Never trying to tell him what he should do. His faults aren't discussed. We stick to our own. If our manner is calm, frank, and open, we will be gratified with the result. In 9 cases out of 10, the unexpected happens. Sometimes the man we are calling on admits his own fault. So feuds of years standing melt away in an hour. Rarely do we fail to make satisfactory progress. Our former enemies sometimes praise what we are doing and wish us well. Occasionally, they will offer assistance. It should not matter, however, if someone does throw us out of his office. We've made our demonstration, done our part. It's water over the dam. Scott?
You know, I'm glad I got a sponsor. I'm really, especially when it comes to this. I too had my list from step four, and I had to add a few things to it. I really didn't have a lot of, some amends to make. I mean, I didn't have a resentment towards a lot of financial institutions, people, or whatever, but I owed them money. You know, I don't know if we're going to read the money thing or not. I forgot to look at the thing. But things are different. My sponsor guided me, you know. I tell you one of them, this isn't a family. Family's easy. That's what you hear. Family's easy. They love you. They're going to trust you. Well, I had an uncle and aunt I stole from, and it took me 3 years to go to their house. And just like this says, the unexpected thing happens. I was nervous walking up there, going through the gate. Now listen, I come in here, I didn't have a driver's license, I didn't have nothing, I had a bag of dirty clothes. Now all of a sudden I got a car, got my little business I own, it turned into a business. I didn't know that was gonna happen. I just like working for myself. And I'm going up there, and my life had started growing. My spiritual side had started growing, because my sponsor had to tell me. I didn't know that either. And I'm walking through the gate, and they come and sit out on the porch. And I had some money, and I said, I owe you some money, I know. And here's, you know, I got $300 I want to give you. And he just says, what took you so damn long? And he wasn't talking about the money. He's like, we've heard about you, talked to your mom, we talked to your dad. We were wondering when you were just going to come over. You know, that was so unexpected. You know, I figured I'd give him half, and we'd sit down and we'd figure out how much I actually took. And then I'd be mad at myself. Damn, he knew every penny. But that didn't happen. He just wanted me, and he told me to keep the money. And of course I did. And I said, if you don't take it, man, I gotta give it to somebody else. I wish you would take it, because that's just how it goes. I don't understand it, but that's how it goes. And they took the money down. They took it and they said, that's good enough. And of course down the road, you know, my sponsor was pretty strict about this. He says, if you want to grow spiritually, Scott, if you want to be just grow. Just become a better person so you can help someone. That's our permanent purpose. Is to carry a message. You gotta, you know, make up for everything. So somewhere down the road, I had to find a way to give the other money up. I couldn't keep it. It wasn't a gift. You know, there's no more gifts. You know, in my head, everything's a gift. You know? Even if I pay for it or not pay for it, it's a gift. But it just changed, you know. Everything started changing. Damn, I was going to say something, I forgot it. But there's a whole bunch of amends. We're going to get in financial in a minute, and I want to wait on that because, you know, I owe the IRS a ton of money. And I got straight with them. It's just a changing part, you know, of my life was to get through this. And this is what I wanted to say. And all I know, this is what I know about the steps today. Now I'm going to wrap this up. I'm not done, but I want to wrap it up. All this stuff that I'm preparing for is really is what I should have been doing my whole life if I want to be a good person. If I want to live out of fear, I should do this on a regular basis. So this is preparing me for the 10th step where I can make direct amends and end it all. I had one amends. I'm going to talk about this and I'll let Lisa go. I was working and I got a couple buddies who are dead. And I done a couple wrongs, and they were on my fourth step list. And the amazing thing happens. My sponsor said, if you're not ready, God, let God make the time. That's, and I thoroughly believe that. He said, let God will show you a way and show you a time. And they're buried over on Indian River Road in Berkeley. I don't know if there's a big cemetery over there. And I happened to be refinishing a floor right across from the cemetery, and I was looking over there. And I was looking up, and I was looking over there. And I was looking up and I was like, nah, this ain't why you got me here. You know, it's the sandus floor. And it really wasn't, you know. What I got to do is I got to go over there and sit. They're both buried. They're probably not from here to that table apart. And I got to make an amends to these guys. And, you know, they probably heard me. I don't know. You know, but that's what I had to do for me. You know, and it says that right there. I got to do my part. My sponsor says you gotta do something. Something's gotta happen to clean up the record. Just saying you're sorry, you know, in that situation it was kinda, you know, I can't do nothing for you, but I'm here to tell you I'm sorry for what I done. And you know, I can't ask for forgiveness. But I can sit there, you know, and just be quiet and let God do his thing. Cause that's where it all comes from, you know, that's the power that I'm trying to tap into, and I want to stay with that. So the more I kept doing this, the more I kept getting, you know, I get these tingly feelings right now in the back of my head, the back of my neck. Where does that come from? You know, there's only one explanation. All this ties into back to step two where I came to believe. This is how I came to believe. I did the rest of everything. I didn't happen all of a sudden, you know. I still had my doubts for years. Something happened to me where I came to believe, and all of a sudden, I don't gotta say I think it works, because I know it does, you know, it's a fact. I'm still sitting here, you know, I'm a daily drinker. Every eye-opening moment of the day, I had a beer in my hand. You know, I'm the kind of guy that gets up at 2 in the morning, go take a piss, and drink a beer at the same time, you know? And I shoot that other crap in my arm I've been hooked on for 14 years. You know, something happened to me. And this is telling me if I take these steps and I practice these spiritual principles and all my affair, now I'm going to 12 steps. See, it all ties. My sponsor tells me once you're done with the 12 step, get rid of the numbers. Once you start doing this, it all ties in together. And you can do it every day. They're spiritual principles. They're not numbered in spirit. They're just in me. If that makes any sense. If I do this, my life is okay. It seems to be okay, even the shitty days, but it's okay. You know, I know the world's not gonna fall apart today because I've done something bad. You know, not that I intentionally do bad things, but things happen sometimes. And I really didn't make a good call. You know, nothing like it used to be. But anyway, life is good. I made some amends, and Lisa wants to talk because she's fidgety. We're married.
Might be true. Well, this is my experience. I was drunk, and I called a friend of mine, and I told her everything wrong she was doing with her son. I've had no children, and so I'm, you know, fast forward
15 years later, I'm at the Bird Neck Detox, which is now Pathways, and I'm carrying the message on a Sunday. And somebody had to, a nurse on duty had to get a patient, and there was a woman, and the nurse on duty was my friend. She was my old training partner. And my eyes looked at her eyes, and it was like a beam. We were like, you know, it was cool. It was like a, like, I don't know, we connected. The guy running the place handed me a letter. And I thought, oh God, what is this letter? I had fear. Like, I didn't know what it was. But the letter said, hey, it was really good seeing you. Let's get together. And you know what? We started doing hot yoga once a week together. She's not one of us, you know. I thought she was. I thought everybody that I partied with, I thought they were all like me. Do you know none of them are like me? They all are healthy, lead wonderful lives, have great jobs, retired, you know. They do things for the community on a regular basis. I had no idea. I'm still bothered by that a little. But because of Facebook, you know. But anyway, she. So that'll be 2 years this November, you know. So I don't know. I still feel like I've lost a little touch with her lately. She's gone through some things, and but I know that she's there, and she knows that I'm here, and that we'll, you know, when it's meant to be, we'll hook up and do yoga again. I had somebody. Let's see. That's just how my this is how it's been rolling with me. I mean, I run into people. I just run into people. Anything that I'm not clear about. One time I had a dream. This is going to sound really weird. It was like my mom was in it. You know, she had died. And this person I put on that 8-step list that I would never make the amends to this person. Never. I had one never. Never. And my sponsor was almost agreeing with me. But I was able to actually do that on the phone. It was a long distance, you know, 3,053 mile away, whatever. And, you know, and I mean, I guess there was some closure there. I don't know. But the point is, when we were talking about being willing, it's like I had to be willing to make amends to everybody. I had to have that willingness. And I know we already talked about that. But I had to come to meetings. I had to be a Craddock to hear a guy share that hated someone, but he loved him, but he hated him. And he said, if that guy walked through those doors right there and he had a drinking problem and he needed help, I would have to help him. You know, and I was like, wow, well, maybe I'd have to help this person too. You know, I thought outside the box a little. This program's totally helped me think differently. Like, we can be in a knockdown dragout. And then it's like something about AA, and I know that doesn't sound very AA-ish, but it's all bets are off, you know? It's like, oh, you need help, you know? It's crazy. Well, I mean, that's how I see it. Maybe, I don't know. But, I also had a lot of debt in sobriety. I had someone help me, and that person died. And I talked to my sponsor about this now, and she said, you know, Lisa, God's going to put somebody in your life and you'll know it. Well, I got two people, you know, and it's like, you'll know it. It's already happening, you know, and I guess it's the pay it forward. So that's happening now. And then I was talking to my sponsor, who I'm afraid of now, because I have a different sponsor since last April, and I'm afraid of her, yeah, calling. But anyway, I know this sounds terrible. It's after 10 years. You know, it shouldn't be like this, but it is like this for me. She said, Lisa, you know, an amends, what is an amends? What is it? You tell me what an amends is. She said, you know, today, what does that mean today when you're helping another alcoholic? We are not Uber. We're not Uber. What is it? That means that you meet them there, and then yes, you will give them a ride home, but you're not here, you're not, you don't give them money, and you don't do the taxi service thing. You could kill someone like that. Well, maybe she didn't really say that, but you know.
Because I'll be your friend until you die, you know, and I've had to look at that. So that's tough. It's tough when people come in here. See, I came in here and I did these steps because I basically was horizontal when I got here. You know, I had an oxygen mask. It came off my face. It was like all bets are off. I have no clue. Even though I feel like I've accomplished a lot at that time, that hasn't got me. It got me with an oxygen mask on my face. So I needed help from a sponsor and a home group. And I did this. So I don't know what it's like to come in here and still crave alcohol. You know, by the time I finally got here. So I struggle with that, that amends. I know I'm going way off here. But, yeah, she said, you know, that's how you do amends. It's basically me changing. And it's taken me so long to change. I felt like Eddie Haskell from Leave It to Beaver for most of my 10 years. You know, like I'm saying it, but I'm really thinking something else. And I'm going ahead and doing it anyway. You know, because it is the right thing to do. And then it does kind of become rote with some things, you know, doing the right thing instead of that other thing. But I swear I like doing the other thing sometimes. But yeah, I remember taking somebody through the big book when I really wanted to be surfing. And I'm taking somebody through the big book and I'm looking at somebody get long peelers on a longboard and I'm like this. And then I looked into her eyes and she looked into mine and it was like, we were connected, you know, and that connection was better than any endorphin I could have got from doing anything else, you know, and it's like, wow, this program's so amazing. So that's how, I guess it's all of my behavior. It's, this whole thing is about change and going ahead and doing that thing that I know that's going to fill the void rather than the instant gratification that, you know, I like to do so much. I don't know. Yeah, I guess that's all I got.
Okay. We're going to continue on page 78. Most alcoholics owe money. I find that presumptuous. Most alcoholics owe money. We do not dodge our creditors. Telling them what we are trying to do, we make no bones about our drinking. They usually know it anyway, whether we think so or not. Nor are we afraid of disclosing our alcoholism on the theory that it might cause financial harm. Approached in this way, the most ruthless creditor will sometimes surprise us. Arranging the best deal we can, we let these people know we are sorry. Our drinking has made us slow to pay. We must lose our fear of creditors no matter how far we have to go, for we are liable to drink if we are afraid to face them. Scoop.
Yeah, I owed out a ton of money. I had a sponsor in AA. I had a group of guys. The guys I got sober, I didn't get sober with. My sponsor started Many a Strange Camel Big Book Study of downtown Norfolk. And when I got out of jail, it was there. We talked about it prior to me going to jail, but they started it without me. You know, that's just how they are. And so when I got out, it was going. And in that group, there was this another friend of mine, a good friend today. And he was retired at 55 years old. He was 14 years sober, and he come in smoking crack, tearing holes in his walls, looking for stuff he thought he lost, and alcohol and this. And I'm like, wow. And I listened to this guy, man. You know what? I realized he had something I wanted too. You know, so my sponsor had that, and this guy had that, and this guy knew how to do finances. And he would talk to me. He says, well, let's talk about this. He said, what are you doing with your debt? I said, what debt? He said, come on, man, I know you got some debt. He said, how much owed IRS? I said, how do you know I owed IRS? And he says, have you let them know where you're at? That's pretty simple. Does the IRS know where you're at? I thought they knew where everybody was. You know, but I had to think about that. And every letter that they sent to my mom's or wherever I was living at, I never answered it. I just threw it in the trash. You know, I worked tax-free for many, many years. You know, cash money. And then when I got checks, who cares? I didn't claim it, didn't report it. You know, I got what I wanted. Wasn't ever worried about paying it back. They're not going to come after somebody like me. And, you know, I got here and I finally made contact. He talked me into it. He gave me his accountant's name, and I was an accountant. Man, what the hell am I going to do for an accountant? Still my accountant today, you know. But he says, well, do you got any receipts? You know, I had some W-2 forms. He pulled up these W-2 forms. He looked back on the government thing, and I was like, God, this ain't going to be good, man. And he said, well, do you have any receipts for this year? There's a lot of money involved here. And you know what? For 1 year, I had a lot of receipts in this box, and I brought them in there. And he says, well, we can do this two ways. I charge you to go through this, or you separate them. And I said, well, I don't got no money, so I guess I got to separate them. And I started doing that anyway. Fast forward, I got a debt straight with the government. You know, there was a few years that nobody could account for nothing. They said, so what we're going to do, they worked with me. I couldn't believe it. They said, what we're going to do is go on what you got. Because everything else, there's no paperwork. So I was like, well, that's pretty cool. And they settled for a price, you know. And it was substantially cheaper than what I know it's substantially. But I started making that amends. And when I started making that amends, you know, I was working for my ex. My first year, my sponsor said, you don't need to work for yourself no more. Let's cut that out. You're going back to work for somebody. It's too much money, you know, because I worked for him when I relapsed, and he was giving me these checks for $7,000, and they were made out to me. And he wouldn't see me for a few weeks. You know, that was my last relapse. So he said, that's out. We're not doing that this time. You're going to get a 50. You know, you're going to get an hourly job. You're going to work by the hour. So that's what I did. And everything started changing. When I started paying this money back, it's amazing. These are spiritual principles now that we got going on in our life. And to give is to receive. I know that to be true. See, because once I started making my amends, my whole life started changing. Remember I said I had this little business I had? Because I just wanted to work for myself. I started getting more work. First AA jumped in because all these guys like David and a few other ones started giving me little odd jobs around the house. I'm a pretty good handyman, but I'm a floor guy. And things started taking off. You know, then I got bigger. I started advertising. I'm making amends the whole time. I'm paying back my uncles, my mom, my dad. I'm paying back everybody I know, you know. And I'm like, I don't think I can do this. It's too much money. But I'm giving what I got. Giving what I got. Things started kicking in, man, on the other side, you know. I got no control of that. The only control I have is the actions I'm taking. Remember, it says faith without works is dead. I got to do this. I had to do this to develop some kind of faith that it's going to really work. I keep saying it works because it does. You know, if I take the proper actions and just at least attempt to pay something back, I get so much in return, man. How does that work? You know, that's beyond my little pea-head brain. You know, that's something mystical out there. You know, like I said, step two came to believe. It took a while. But every time it started working, I came to believe, you know. And I love to tell you that I'm a multi-millionaire today, but I'm just not. You know, God provides. I got a little house payment. I got a couple cars, a couple work vans, a few guys that work for me. You know, and I'm still making amends because I'm still paying the government, you know. But I'm paying taxes that are earned that I got to pay that quarter, not from 10 years ago. So life has changed a little bit.
When I got here, I had 8 people living in my house and I was at the Days Inn. So my experience, I don't know, I don't want to say it's a cliche, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, but this is what happened. I would listen to people, I listened to my sponsor's husband, he said, you know what, I try not to lose what I didn't already give away in sobriety. And so I was a homeowner when I came in, even though it was very unmanageable. So I lived in a tiny apartment, you know, at the beach, and, you know, this is what this looks like.
I didn't really owe a lot of money when I got here. My financial stuff happened when I got here because of the decisions that I made. And, you know, along the way, for when I was hitting my bottom. So I did all this. I already talked about it. I kind of went out of line here. But when I did get in trouble, this is what this looks like to me. Like this is what it looked like. For after a year of sobriety, the well broke. So the well check valve broke at the house. And so that was the night before I just said, you know, God, if I had that hot tub jacuzzi now, even though it was like the 1970s, I would really appreciate it today. I know I didn't appreciate it at all when I had it. And then something happened, and they ended up having to move out, and I moved back in, you know, like right at a year when my lease was up. And I moved into the garage apartment, and then I told my sponsor, you know, I've been lying. Things aren't going well at all. She says, well, what's wrong? I said, I only have one more month of bill money, and things aren't going well. She said, well, come over after work. And her granddaughter had just had a cochlear implant surgery, and she greeted me at the door with a pink implant and a pink dress and a pink pocketbook. And I just looked at her. She was two. And so my problems melted away, you know. I sat on the sofa with her. I had put a sign out that said garage apartment or house for rent on one side. Well, the phone rang right in that moment of silence, sitting there with my sponsor and her granddaughter. And somebody said, hey, I need a place right away. I'm in the military. I've got my first month and my deposit. I was like, you gotta be kidding me. This is just how this rolls, if I'm doing this, you know? So I ended up renting the house out, living above the garage. And then it just happened, and about maybe 5 years of sobriety, I was back in my house. You know, but it took all that long, you know? It was actually kind of nice. I had that tiny little garage apartment, and I think that's all I could handle at the time. You know, that was it. It was perfect. But anyway, the amends, what happened was I just wasn't selling much life insurance in 2007 and 8. I got sick. I ended up having to take a $10.30 job. I thought, oh my God, and then I was going to lose my house, but I ended up just doing what it took. You know, I had people in AA when I said, I don't feel like it, I don't feel like getting up. They called me and said, have you called the interviewer? And I'd say, oh no, call them. You know, I mean, you guys have saved me, okay? So I showed up and I get this job, and it hasn't been a success story. Like, if you would look at it in black and white, it doesn't look that good, but the miracles that have happened for me to even, I still own that house. It doesn't like seem possible, you know? I mean, it just doesn't. I'm renting the garage apartment out, thanks to him doing the floor, and my dad, who is elderly, is living in the house, you know, on the first floor where he can get around. But that's, I don't know, looking back on it. But anyway, so the amends part, and I know I've skipped over this whole thing with this, I went straight to the finances, but it went from the amends of the food bank, just sending a check to them, you know, for what I did when I was out there, to, showing up in court when they were going to garnish my wages in sobriety, and then making a deal that they would take it out of my bank account if I set it up through a bank account, payments. I know maybe I'm sharing too specifically, but this is really what it looked like for me. And then, you know what, making those phone calls and talking to people, it's true. You know, I didn't have any trouble with the IRS. I don't know why I filed my taxes. You know, I just did. I created everything like coming in here, you know, and it was defiance, you know. I want to say fear, but my sponsor said no, it was all defiance. But anyway, I'm doing this, and that's it, and I guess that's all I got. Thanks.
Thank you so much for sharing. All right, we're going to pass the seven tradition basket. Speaking of money. The seventh tradition states that every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup, central office, local services, district, area, and general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Although the amount of our contribution is secondary to the spiritual connection that unites all groups around the world, we may want to remember that a dollar does not support as many services as it used to. Are there any quick announcements for the good of AA? Ralph.
Christmas Day, Moon Day will be open from 5:30 a.m. to 11 p.m. There'll be a meeting every hour and a half. New Year's Eve will be open from 6 p.m. to 2 a.m. So if you want to bring in the New Year with a bunch of sober drunks, that's the place to be. And then New Year's Day, we're going to have our theater. We'll open again at 5:30 a.m. to 11 p.m.
Thank you. That's a good point too. Christmas Day and New Year's Day both fall on a Monday. This is a Monday that we're in right now, and we will be here on both of those days having a meeting at Simple Actions. So if you want a meeting on Christmas Day or New Year's Day, we will be here. Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group, please see one of us after the meeting, home group members. Newcomers, you are the reason we are here. Is there anybody here tonight in their first 30 days of sobriety? If we could just get your first name, we'd like to welcome you.
Don.
Welcome.
Kelly.
Welcome. Anybody else? There is literature available. Please see any home group member after the meeting if you'd like to purchase a book. Sponsorship in Alcoholics Anonymous is yours for the asking. We urge you do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, I'll be available at this table after we close the meeting. Please feel free to come up and talk, ask a question. Happy to talk about it. Reminders, smokers, please use the butt can provided outside and stay well away from the church doors. All meeting audio recordings and upcoming events are posted on our website, simpleactions.net. Can we thank the panel, please? Thank you, guys. I'd like to thank everybody who participated tonight. After we clean up, all are invited and encouraged to continue the conversation on the step discussed tonight at the meeting after the meeting that will be held at Plaza del Sol on 22nd and Colonial. Is that right? No. Okay, could I have a volunteer to read the last two paragraphs on page 164, nice and loud?
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
All right, let's close with the Lord's Prayer. Let's go out in front of the table. You can trap back there.
Yeah.
Come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this
much.